राधा माधव राधा माधव जय राधा माधव जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय ओम स्वाहा परमहंस परिव्राज तुरंत शिशिमार भाई शवनिमित भक्त विदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय इस्कान फाउंडर आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की जय गौती वैष्णवेंद्र की जय नाम आचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम सिंह हो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदारा श्री दासरि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा माधव गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंवर गिरि गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन श्री मथुर धाम की जय नवरी मायापुर धाम की जय श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय गंग माही जमुन माई की जय तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय संग वेद भक्त वृंद की जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय श्री चैतन्य चटामृत की जय श्री गौंद चमानंद की जय ताई गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबली डिवोटीज ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबली डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबली डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग ग्लोरियस टू श्री प्रभुपाद Hare Krishna, today's the cleansing of the Gaudiya Chamandi. We'll be reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita instead of the usual Srimad Bhagavatam class. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 12, entitled The Cleansing of the Gaudiya Temple. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda So, reading from Cleansing of the Gaudiya Temple, Madhya 12, text number 71. E mata nanarangi dinakata gila jagannathera ratayatra nikata haila. Translation. In this way, the Lord passed some days in great jubilation. Then the car festival of Lord Jagannath approached. I'll just read the English translation. 72. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first of all called for Kashi Mishra, then the superintendent of the temple, then for Sarvabhumna Bhattacharya. When these three people came before the Lord, he begged them for permission to wash the temple known as Gaudiya. Text 74. Upon hearing the Lord's request for permission to wash the Gaundicha temple, the Paricha, the superintendent of the temple, said, "My dear sir, we are all your servants. Whatever you desire, it is our duty to perform." 75. The king gave special orders for me to do without delay whatever your lordship orders. The king was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as well as Sarvabhoma the Bhattacharya was a great devotee of. So they were high placed, high positions in the temple of Jagannath. So immediately they, recognizing his greatness, Lord Chaitanya, they immediately assisted him. 76. "My dear Lord, washing the temple is not a service befitting you. Nonetheless, if you wish to do so, it is to be accepted as one of your pastimes." 77. "To wash the temple, you need many water pots and brooms. Therefore, order me. I can immediately bring all these things to you." Can you hear me? Is it clear? Better than yesterday. Text 78. "As soon as the superintendent understood the desire of the Lord, he immediately delivered 100 new water pots and 100 brooms for sweeping the temple." 79. "The next day, early in the morning, the Lord took his personal associates with him and with his own hand smeared sandalwood pulp all over their bodies." Text 80. Lucky devotees. Lord Chaitanya is smearing sandalwood all over your body. Can you imagine? Text 80. "Then he gave each devotee a broom with his own hand, and taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to Gaundicha." So 81. "In this way, the Lord and his associates went to cleanse the Gaundicha temple. At first, they cleaned the temple with the brooms." The Gaundicha is the place where Lord Jagannath stays for a week or so after he leaves his main temple. A couple of hundred yards from the main temple down the Grand Avenue, just one straight road, very wide road. There are three carts come and they go to the Gaundicha and they stay there for some days, 7 or 8 days. So Mahaprabhu is going to clean. That is tradition, they will clean. This is our tradition in ISKCON also. Today is Gaundicha. Everyone cleans the temple, try to clean the temple. Devotees here started yesterday, some big things. Of course, we can't have so many people in the temple nowadays, this COVID season. But you may clean somewhere. You may clean your house or houses and ashram also. Text 82. "The Lord cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, cleansed it and put it back in its original place." It means they took out the Shingmasan, cleaned it nicely and put it back. "Thus the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple buildings, big and small, and finally cleansed the areas between the temple and the curtain hall." 84. "Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operations just to instruct others." Text 85. "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting, at the same time performing their respective duties." Text 86. "The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt, and in this way it became transcendentally beautiful. At times when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears And in some places, he even cleaned with those tears. 87. After this, the place where the deity's food was kept, Bhogamandir, was cleaned. The yard was cleaned. Then all the residential quarters, one after another. So they even cleaned the residential quarters of the sevaks living there. So if you can't come to the temple, you can clean your house. House is an ashram, right? So where you where you support your service to the Lord, so you can include that. If you can't clean the temple or the temple grounds, then you can clean your own house. We went to the Gaundicha, but they don't let foreigners in the Gaundicha Mandir. So Janavas took his broom and swept outside, all around the entrance and the road there. So that's do something. Following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust, and grains of sand in one place, he gathered it all in his cloth and threw it aside. He wasn't afraid of getting dirty. He put the cloth, he put all the dirt, dust in his cloth, in his uttariya. 89. Following the, I remember one time we were cleaning the temple here, and the Gurukul boys used to come. It's quite a party when we have a cleansing the temple here. It's quite a joyous occasion. So one devotee was instructing, okay, everyone line up, here's the buckets, here are the brooms. And he got one bucket of water and he poured it over one person. He said, don't be afraid of getting wet. Now start. 89. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees in great jubilation began to gather straws and dust with their own cloths and throw them outside the temple. 90. Then the Lord told the devotees, I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust you have collected outside. 91. Even though all the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was much greater. He single-handedly collected more than all of the other devotees put together. Hare Krishna. 92. After the inside of the temple was cleansed, the Lord again allotted areas for the devotees to clean. 93. The Lord then ordered everyone to cleanse the inside of the temple very perfectly by taking finer dust, straws, and grains of sand and throwing them outside. Second time. 94. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas cleaned the temple for the second time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see the cleaning work. 95. While the temple was being swept, about 100 men stood ready with filled water pots, and they simply awaited the Lord's order to throw the water from them. Text 96. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for water, all the men immediately bought the 100 water pots, which were completely filled, and delivered them before the Lord. 97. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first washed the main temple, then thoroughly washed the ceiling, the walls, the floor, the sitting place, and everything else within the room. 98. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and his devotees began to throw water on the ceiling, and when this water fell, it washed the walls and the floor. Good thorough cleansing here. Text 99. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath with his own hands, and all the devotees began to bring water to the Lord. All the devotees within the temple began to wash. Each one had a broom in his hand, and in this way they cleaned the temple of the Lord. 101. Somebody bought water to pour into the hands of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone poured water on his lotus feet. wanted to. The water that fell from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drunk by someone who hid himself. Someone else begged for that water, and another person was given that water in charity. Okay. 103. After the room was washed, the water was let out through an outlet and flowed and filled the courtyard outside. 104. The Lord mopped the rooms with his own clothes, and he polished the throne with them also. Didn't care. His own utre he used to carry the dirt to wash, to scrub the Sringasam with, and to polish it afterwards and dry. In this way, all the rooms were cleansed with 100 water pots. After the rooms had been cleaned, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms. 6.106. When the temple was cleansed, it was purified, cool, and pleasing, just as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. 107. Since hundreds of men were engaged in bringing water from the lake, there was no place to stand on the lake. Consequently, someone began to draw water from a well. Hundreds of devotees, 108, bought water in the pots, and hundreds took the empty pots away to fill them up again. There was a big pond, right, almost very close to the Gondicha. There's a pond, Indrajumna Sarovar, I think, where they're gathering the water. 109. With the exception of Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Sarup Damodar, Brahmananda Bharati, and Paramananda Puri, everyone was engaged in filling the water pots and bringing them there. 110. Many of the water pots were broken when people collided with one another, and hundreds of men had to bring new water pots to fill. They're very busy, running backwards and forwards. Sometimes they would crash into each other. They were using clay pots, and the pots would crack. Text 111. Some people were filling the pots, others were washing the rooms, but everyone was engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and Hari. 112. One person begged for a water pot by chanting the holy name, Krishna, Krishna. And another delivered a pot by chanting, Krishna, Krishna. That was the language, only two word vocabulary. Krishna, Krishna. You understand, he's pointing and Krishna, Krishna. Bring a broom, then he would bring, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. But like this, that was the only vocabulary, Krishna and Hari. Whenever anyone had to speak, he did so by uttering the name of Krishna. Consequently, the holy names of Krishna became an indication for everyone who wanted something. Just see, if you want something, you chant Hare Krishna, and the other devotees would understand what it is you wanted and go and bring it. Such is the power of the holy name. 114. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was vibrating the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love, he himself was performing the work of hundreds of men. Very enthusiastic. 115. It appeared as though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were cleaning and washing with 100 hands. He approached every devotee just to teach him how to work. 116. When he saw someone doing nicely, the Lord praised him. But if he saw someone was not working to his satisfaction, he immediately chastised that person, not bearing any grudge. Text 117. The Lord would say, "You have done well. Please teach this to others so they may act in the same way." As soon as they heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say this, everyone became ashamed. And then they began to work with great attention. The psychology of someone's not doing very well. You say, "Oh, you're doing so good. It was so nice. You're doing so well. You should teach others how to do this." Then they become ashamed and they start to work more conscientiously. This is a very wonderful way Mahaprabhu was training them. 119. They washed the Jagamohan area and then washed the place where the food was kept. All other places were also washed. 120. In this way, the meeting place was washed, the entire yard, the raised sitting place, the kitchen, and every other room. 121. When all places around the temple were thoroughly washed, and so thus all the places around the temple were thoroughly washed within and without. 122. After everything was thoroughly washed, a Vaishnava from Bengal, who was very intelligent and simple, came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. 123. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas then took that water and drank it himself. Seeing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little unhappy and was outwardly angry. 124. Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. 125. The Lord then called for Swarup Damodar and told him, just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnava. 126. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. 127. I do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnava has greatly implicated me. The purport Srila Prabhupada is saying it's significant that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Swarup Damodar Goswami that the Bengali Vaishnava was your Gaudiya Vaishnava. This means that Gaudiya Vaishnavas who are followers of Chaitanya cult are subordinate to Swarup Damodar Goswami. The Parampara system is very strictly observed by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal secretary was Swarup Damodar Goswami. The next group of devotees were the six Goswamis, then Kaviraj Goswami. It is necessary to observe the Parampara system of the Chaitanya cult. There are many offenses one can commit while serving the Lord, and these are described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Hari Bhakti Vilas, and other books. According to the rules and regulations, no one should accept obeisances in the temple of the Lord before the deity. Nor is it proper for a devotee to offer obeisances and touch the feet of the spiritual master before the deity. This is considered an offense. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was personally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it was not actually offensive to wash his lotus feet in the temple. However, because he was playing the part of an acharya, the Lord considered himself an ordinary human being. He also wanted to give instructions to ordinary human beings. The point is that even though one plays the part of a spiritual master, he should not accept obeisances or permit a disciple to wash his feet before the deity. This is a matter of etiquette.
Hare Krishna.
End of purport. Text 128. At this point, Swarup Damodar caught the Gaudiya Vaishnava by the neck and giving him a little push, ejected him from the Gaudiya Puri temple and made him stay outside. After Swarup Damodar Goswami returned within the temple, he requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to excuse that innocent person. 130. After this incident, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. He then asked all of the devotees to sit down in two lines on both sides. 131. The Lord then personally sat down in the middle and picked up all kinds of straw, grains of sand, and dirty things. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was picking up the straws and grains of sand, he said, I shall gather everyone's collection and I shall ask whoever has collected less than the others to pay a fine of sweet cakes and sweet rice. Like Lord Nityananda to Raghunath Das Goswami. So again they're cleaning. Already they've swept, already they've washed. Now again he's going for another time. In this way all the quarters of the Gaudiya temple were completely cleansed and cleared. All quarters were cool and spotless, like one's cleansed and pacified mind. 24. When the water from the different rooms was finally let out through the halls, it appeared as if new rivers were rushing out to meet the waters of the ocean. 25. Outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleaned, and no one could tell exactly how this was done. Purport. In commenting on the cleansing of the Gaudiya temple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the world leader, was personally given instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within one's cleansed and pacified heart. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart as prescribed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shishashtika, Chetodapanamajanam. In this age, everyone's heart is especially unclean, as confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Hridyantastohi Abharani. To wash away all the dirty things accumulated within the heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The first result will be that the heart is cleansed. Chetodarpanamajanam. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 1-17 confirms this statement. Shimbatam svakatha Krishna punya shravana kirtana hryanta srohi abrahami vidhunoti shrut satam. Sri Krishna, translation, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Okay, secret here. If you can relish the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, then the Lord within your heart, he cleans the heart. He removes the desires for material enjoyment. Secret. You should learn how to be cherish the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then the Lord does all the work for you. Easy process. Shortcut. Secret. If a devotee at all wants to cleanse his heart, he must chant and hear the glories of the Lord Sri Krishna, Shinvatam Svakatha Krishna. This is a simple process. Krishna himself will help clean the heart because he is already seated there. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart of the living beings, and the Lord wants to give direction, but one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept the Gaudiya temple. The devotee, therefore, has to cleanse his heart just as the Lord cleansed the Gaudiya temple. In this way, one can be pacified and enriched in devotional service. If the heart is filled with straw and grains of sand, weeds or dust, in other words, anyabilasapurna, one cannot enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives brought about through fruitive work, speculative knowledge, the mystic yoga system, and so many other forms of so-called meditation. The heart must be cleansed without ulterior motive. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, Anyabilasita sunyam janakamani avartindham. In other words, there should not be any external motive. One should not attempt material upliftment. Understanding the Supreme by speculative knowledge, fruitive activity, severe austerity and penance, and so on. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as these are not present within the heart should be understood to be, as soon as these are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit to serve as Krishna's sitting place. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our hearts unless our hearts are cleansed. A desire, a material desire, is explained as a desire to enjoy the material world to its fullest extent. In modern language, this is called economic development. An inordinate desire for economic development is considered to be like straws and grains of sand within the heart. If one is overly engaged in material activity, the heart will always remain disturbed, as stated by Narottam Das Thakur, Samsara Vishanale Dvijanishi Hiladvale Judati Nakainu Apaya. In other words, endeavor for material opulence is against the principle of devotional service. Material enjoyment includes activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation to the higher planetary system, and even living happily within the material world. Modernized spirit material benefits are like the dust of material contamination. When this dust is agitated by the whirlwind of fruitive activity, it overcomes the heart. Thus the mirror of the heart is covered with dust. There are many desires to perform auspicious and inauspicious activities, but people do not know how life after life they are keeping their hearts unclean. One who cannot give up the desire for fruitive activity is understood to be covered by the dust of material contamination. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying here that this is the import or the purport of this Mahaprabhu's cleansing very thoroughly, even going after he's done the gross cleaning and washing. Then he's going on his hands and knees and looking, picking up little anything that he may have missed. How careful one has to be if one actually wants to experience love of Krishna. If one wants to experience Krishna sitting within the heart, of course he's already there, but he's not so comfortable. Because the heart is Krishna's sitting place, but we're putting so many other things in the heart. We're using the throne of the heart for our own our own purpose, our own use. Also, he said the desire for being successful in life, being happy in life, being comfortable in life, being famous in life. All these things that we naturally come upon it, the natural desires there, because the material world is an uncomfortable place. We're always looking for some relief. but these are just tricks of Maya to delude us from rendering pure unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. That is Maya's thankless task. So as soon as one is endeavoring, performing other activity coming from other desires, even these so-called religious work they're talking about here, austerities, penances, yajnas, sacrifices because the motivation of the karmis is to enjoy, the jnanis is to become free, the yogis, if they're not so fortunate, is to control, have many mystic powers. So what has this got to do with serving the Lord? Although these paths are recommended, because these are the desires that people have. They want to be happy in this life, happy in the next life, free from birth altogether, or enjoy the different opulences. These are the options that one has in the material world, but they're all impure, because the idea is it's about my happiness, about my betterment in the material world, or just to become completely free of the material world, as the jnan is seeking this kevala mukti, this liberation of merging into Brahman. In other words, it's trying to extinguish your existence along with the material world. So it is all about what I want. It's all about for my satisfaction. It's not about Krishna, serving Krishna. The purpose of existence is to satisfy Krishna. So we're asking, Krishna is coming, he's sitting in the heart as a super soul out of his kindness, ready to instruct us, ready to reveal himself to us. But he's waiting for us to make the first steps. Krishna's, that's the rule. You make the first step. The rules are already there, the rules of the material world. But Krishna says, how will you act? I'm given the knowledge, I'm given the ability. Now you do as you like. I'm not interfering with your free choice. So because we're so illusioned, then Krishna, these religious processes like karma, jnana and yoga, they're to trick the conditioned soul into becoming pious, because they'll follow some system. Because the system, if you follow this religious system, you're guaranteed promotion to the heavenly planets, you're guaranteed liberation, you're guaranteed to have tremendous powers. So that's attractive. So you go, then you follow a religious path. And religion is coming from Krishna. So in other words, you're surrendering to Krishna. You're following Krishna's dictates. Indirectly, you're following Krishna. But it's not really pleasing to Krishna. This is because you're doing it. We're doing it for our own benefit. Although we're surrendering to Krishna indirectly, it's not for his benefit, it's for our benefit. So therefore, Krishna's not going to have an intimate, reveal himself in an intimate way, that you can have an intimate relationship with him, while this mentality is there. So these paths that they're offering, they're only good in as much as they will help purify one from passion and ignorance. And then mode of goodness is a better platform to perform pure devotional service, is a better platform situation, and you're more likely to meet devotees if your life is in the mode of goodness. Because generally the pure devotees, they don't frequent places of passion, ignorance. So this is the way Krishna is, out of his kindness, because we won't listen to him in the first place, or we've been, that remembrance has been taken away, but Krishna's helping out like this. So all these desires, for they're considered to be like straw and grains of sand. Now, grains of sand are not very comfortable. If you're sitting on a nice soft seat, as Graham's a shan, excuse me, devotees are very considerate. They're supplying me things to overcome difficulties in the throat, natural difficulties. So, but they offer them to Krishna first, we hope. So it's prasadam. So this is how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explained us what is the import of this, of why Mahaprabhu was so thoroughly cleansed everything. We continue, Prabhupada. Karmis generally think that interaction of fruitive activities can be counteracted by another karma or fruitive activity. This is certainly a mistaken conception. If one is deluded by such a conception, he is cheated by his own activity. In other words, the activity, if I perform pious activities, they will nullify the sinful activities. They will counteract. But that's not the way it is. You suffer for your sinful activities, you enjoy for your pious activities. It doesn't work like that. He said, such activities have been compared to an elephant's bathing. An elephant may bathe very thoroughly, but as soon as it comes out of the river, immediately takes some sand from the land and throws it all over his body. And we see, when our elephants here, they take a bath, they pull up clumps of grass and mud and throw it over themselves for some reason. Maybe keep the mosquitoes away. But that's what they do. So these activities are like that because it doesn't actually purify the heart. If one suffers due to his past fruitive activities, he cannot counteract his suffering by performing auspicious activities. The sufferings of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. The only way these sufferings can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. When one tastes the Krishna consciousness and engages himself in devotional service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. So now the material, there's no material solution to the material problems. That we should understand. Prahlad Maharaj is stressing that also, it's stressed many times in the Bhagavatam, that you should understand clearly because it's something that we've heard but we don't actually apply it to our life. We still think, you know, by my endeavor I will be happy in the future. Everyone is thinking like that. But there's no material solution to the material problem. Material birth is a problem. So if you get to the best situation in the material world, i.e. the heavenly planets or higher, there's no problems there. Only one. You can't stay there. So it's terrific there, but you can't stay there. Then when you've used up the results of your pious activities, you'll have to come back again and work off the results of your impious activity or start again. At least you come back as a human being and then you can start again with your karmas. Yeah, getting karmas. Because the heart is not purified. Because the desire is for me to enjoy it. And so because of that you'll be, although you were purified, you went to the heavenly planets, you got to the mode of goodness, then you enjoyed so much there, but then you have to come back again. So same thing, the hatishnan. As long as you're in the material world, it's a problem. The material world means problem. The whole Brahmanda, it means problem. Anywhere, the 14 planetary systems, it's a problem in relationship with your the your relationship with Krishna. That's actual free life, that's actually real life, that's actually the life of transcendental knowledge and bliss. So anything outside, that can't be matched in the material world, wherever you go. So compared to your actual real existence, in the spiritual world, engaged in service, loving service to Krishna, then it's suffering. But if you don't know what it's like, then you think the suffering's okay. Some suffering is worse, and but some suffering is good. It's relative to your circumstance, to your, you know, circumstance means your particular body, your particular senses. So in one body you think something's very nice, in one body you run away from it. So it's all just relative here, but if you actually understood your original position in the spiritual world, then you think it's all horrible, even the heavenly planets. Devoid of service, loving, ecstatic service to Krishna. So when one takes to Krishna consciousness and engages himself in devotional service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. When the heart is actually cleansed, one can clearly see the Lord sitting there without any disturbances. Be nice. So this is a program. Don't endeavor for material fulfillment, otherwise you're not going to see him sitting there without any disturbance. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.68, the Lord confirms that he sits within the heart of a pure devotee. Shadavo hiram hadyam sadhunam hridayam tvaham. Impersonal speculation, monism, merging into the existence of the Supreme, speculative knowledge, mystic yoga and meditation are all compared to grains of sand. Wow. These are very lofty things, right? We speak high, these are placed highly, all these things. Here, compared to the spiritual life, they're compared to grains of sand. They simply cause irritation to the heart. No one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such activities. Nor do we give the Lord a chance to sit in our hearts peacefully. Too many desires in the heart. How can the Lord be peaceful? All those desires are disturbing him, trying to share the same place as him. Sometimes yogis and jnanis in the beginning take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a way to begin their various practices. But when they falsely think they have attained release from the bondage of material existence, they give up chanting. They do not consider that the ultimate goal is the form of the Lord or the name of the Lord, which is the same. Such unfortunate creatures are never favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for they do not know what devotional service is. Lord Krishna describes them in the Bhagavad Gita in this way: Tamaham dustaha kudan samayashvarichu naradamam shibhamiya jasam asubham asodev eva jonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast in the ocean of material existence into various demoniac species of life. The all good, all loving, all merciful Lord. Just see how he's speaking. God is all good. Those who are envious, mischievous, lowest among them, I throw them into the ocean of material existence and various demoniac species of life. Haribol. So don't become envious of the Lord. Don't become envious of the Lord's place. It's meant for his enjoyment, not for ours. By his practical example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us that all the grains of sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown outside. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleaned outside of the temple, fearing that the grains of sand would again come back in with the wind. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that even though one may become free from the desire for fruitive activity, sometimes the subtle desire for fruitive activity again comes into being in the heart. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity. But the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, described as kutinati, fault-finding, and patistaha, or desire for name, fame, or for high position. Jivahimsa, envy of other living entities. Nishidhatacharya, accepting things forbidden in the Shastra. Karma, desire for material gains. And puja, hankering for popularity. The word kutanati means duplicity. An example of pratistha. One may attempt to imitate Srila Haridas Thakur by living in a solitary place. One's real desire may be for name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept one to be as good as Haridas Thakur just because he lives in a solitary place. These are all material desires. A neophyte devotee is certain to be attacked by other material desires as well, namely desires for women and money. In this way, the heart is again filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder, like that of a materialist. Gradually, one desires to become reputed devotee or an avatar, an incarnation. At the end of the line, end of the false ego, you want to become God. That is desire. Actually, everyone would like to become God in the material world. So that desire is there. For women and money means security, and women means enjoyment. So these are the two desires that are there, naturally there. Because our nature is to, as secondary enjoyers, ananda, our nature is, we should be enjoying. Jivas, enjoying with Krishna. But we're not enjoying with Krishna, so we're looking somewhere else. And material world is very difficult, so the desire for protection, or money, represents, or facility. So these two things, they don't go away. So one has to be very diligent in cleaning process is always going on. Unless you get something better, then you can be indifferent to them. The word jivahimsa, envy of other living entities, actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Preaching work is described as paropakara, welfare activity for others. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitary place, he is engaging in material activity. If one desires to make a compromise with Mayavadis, he is also engaged in material activity. A devotee should never make compromises with non-devotees. By acting as a professional guru, mystic yogi, or a miracle man, one may cheat and bluff the general public and gain fame as a wonderful mystic. But all this is considered to be dust, straw, and grains of sand within the heart. In addition, one should follow the regulative principles and not desire illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, or meat. To give us practical instructions, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansed the temple twice. His second cleansing was more thorough. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple with firm conviction, as is evident from his using his own personal garments for cleaning. Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed to the standard of clean marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. In other words, it is a process by which the mind is cooled. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one no longer desires anything but devotional service. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, and the four principles of religious activity, dharma, artha, karma, moksha. All these are like spots on a clean cloth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to cleanse all these away. By his practical activity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our hearts. Once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Krishna to sit down and we should observe the festival by distributing prasadam and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal behavior. Everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of the cleansing. And those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. The Lord was very pleased with those who could cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called anatha nivritti, cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. Thus the cleansing of the Gaundicha Mandir was conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed to receive Lord Krishna and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. And the purport. Text 136. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleaned the Nrisimha temple inside and outside. Finally, he rested for a few minutes and then began dancing. All around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the devotees performed congregational chanting. The Lord, just like a maddened lion, danced in the middle. As usual, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, there were perspiration, trembling, fading, tears, jubilation, and roaring. Indeed, the tears from his eyes washed his body and those before him. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the bodies of all the devotees with the tears from his eyes. The tears poured like the rains in the month of Shravan. The sky was filled with a great and loud chanting of Sankirtan, and the earth shook from the jumping and dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always liked the loud chanting of Srup Damodar, and therefore when Srup Damodar sang, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and jumped high in jubilation. The Lord thus chanted and danced for some time. Finally, understanding the circumstances, he stopped. Then he ordered Sri Gopal, the son of Advaita Acharya, to dance. And there was some mystical things happened then, but you may read that in the Madhya Leela, chapter 12, cleansing of the Gaundicha temple. Thus, this is the way that Mahaprabhu observed this festival of cleansing the temple for Lord Jagannath to peacefully reside in. Sri Gaundicha Mandir ki Sarvobhara ki jai, Pranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Satyanatamita ki jai. Oh, Pramandi, Hari Hari Guru. Thank you very much. Question? Why? Advaita and Nityananda? No, they were fetched, they were bringing the water. From the pond, the sarovar, they were bringing water, carrying water. Those weren't doing that. They were engaged in cleansing, I would say. So they didn't have to. They stayed inside cleaning, and the others brought the water back and forth, I would imagine. Educated guess. I hope no one would ask that question. Yeah, Prabhupada did it. Prabhupada allowed it. But no one ever asked that question. Prabhupada knew. He wrote the books. He said this is something, it was an offense to. One of the best answers I have is that because he was mainly dealing with foreigners, uncultured people, such as in Yavanas, who didn't know the culture then, but the idea that the guru and Krishna are one, in as much as the guru is the means to Krishna, so he's representing Krishna. He's not Krishna, but he's representing Krishna. He's invested with the mercy of Krishna, that you get Krishna only through the guru. Krishna reveals himself through the guru. So in that respect, they are one. And because of the lack of respect in the West for other people, you know, human, they won't bow down to anyone, not even gods, practically speaking. So this is the best explanation I heard, that just to show that you worship the devotee as good as God, the guru as good as God, Prabhupada allowed that in the temple. And another thing, of course, we were limited with space in the beginning, opulence, because generally you see the guru is in traditional temples, the guru is not in the temple, on the altar, generally he's another place, and it's generally, it wouldn't be opposite. Then the worship will be done in a different place, away from the deity. So according to the time, circumstances, it was usually arranged that, you know, Prabhupada Vyasa Sain was one side and Krishna was the other side. So it seems that Prabhupada knew what he was doing, obviously, because he wrote the rules, he wrote the books. But to try to get ingrained into us the position of the spiritual master, he's not an ordinary person. But normally you don't. Of course, the guru does take a special place. There's another injunction that if you're offering arti and the guru comes in, you can stop the arti to the deity and receive the guru. We wouldn't do it in ISKCON because there are many gurus, of course, but that injunction is also there. And then, but then you shouldn't worship anyone in front of the deities, including demigods. But then again, the guru is a sum total of the demigods. So rules are there, but the principles should not be forgotten. Rules maybe you don't have. It does. Is a rule? They want another rule. A sloka saying that because the rules are there in the scripture, it doesn't mean to say you have to follow in each and every one which is there. You don't have to follow each and every rule which is there, because just because they're there, you have to follow them. Because there's so many rules. Right? You can't turn left or right. You'd never get through the day. You never have time for breakfast if you want to do your worship and follow all the rules and regulate. So then the acharya takes, he sets the standard, we follow this. Therefore you have your Madhava and your Ramanuja and your etc. They have different standards. But the principles are more or less all the same. They're worshipping Krishna. And they're approaching him as the Supreme Lord in our four sampradayas. So there's obviously some differences in the application and the details and which injunctions they follow and which injunctions they don't follow. So that's why Guru is there, the Acharya is there. As long as he's in line with the Acharya, then we're safe. We may not understand, but it's generally no different. There's no disagreement on their level or the Acharya's level. Although we may think, why are you not doing? This is what we do in our place. This is scripture. Why are you not doing? But there's so many scriptural injunctions. So many. And there's more questions than answers. Just to keep us going. Just understand that there's more questions than answers. Not that you're suddenly going to find everything and that's it. It's not going to be like that. Knowledge is unlimited. Krishna likes it like that. He likes the differences. He likes the differences also. He created them. But why Prabhupada actually did it, we don't know, because no one ever asked him, as far as I know. So we can't say positively. But we should understand it for...
Thank you, Prabhu, for your excellent and deep class. We find out whenever we are a little relaxed on our practice, and then our old habits or our material desires would come again, and we are overwhelmed by them. So please tell us, when can we uproot them completely? I heard as long as we have this material body, we would always have material desires. Does that mean for our whole life we have to be very strict in performing our sadhana and we should never become relaxed? Is that true? When the time would come that we can completely uproot all those bad habits, old habits and material desires?
Well, when you leave your body, that's what she said. As long as you have the material body, you have the material desires. There's a chance, right? There's two things in this world we want. Right? Krishna says the material world is as dukkalaya sasritam. It's temporary and it's miserable. We're eternal and blissful. Right? We're living in a temporary and miserable place. So obviously we're not satisfied. So we want happiness and we want eternity or comfort. So those two desires are natural. The problem is we're trying to satisfy them materially. So they won't go away, and they won't go away because your nature is ananda, your nature is sat, eternal. So they won't go away, they're an integral part of you. It's just a question of where are you going to fulfill those desires? You want to try them, fulfill them in the material world or the spiritual world? So by this practice you'll get purified, by any practice you'll get purified, but especially by bhakti practice, the purification will be, hey, it's not about my happiness and my comfort. It's not about my peace and my happiness. It's about Krishna's. And when one accepts that, then the one becomes indifferent to his own likes and dislikes. But then, at that time, one is dependent on Krishna. So then Krishna is obliged to his devotee. So then Krishna will extend his divine energy. And then you'll be free from indifferent to those desires, because you'll have something better now. So only by achieving the higher taste, you can give up the lower taste. So until you have that, it's just a matter, like you say, it's determination and adhering to the formula of staying connected with devotional service and insulated from the modes of nature by following the four regulative principles. Hare Krishna. Good luck. They're very convenient, plastic bags, right? You can put your rasgulla in and take it home. No, we create plastic for our convenience. But then you've got the other side. How do you get rid of it? When it's no good, how do you get rid of it? Then it pollutes the water, it pollutes the earth. So that's how the material world is. You resolve one problem, you invent a plastic bag, but then you create 10 more problems. Everything's like that in the material world. We're trying to make life easy. This is the same thing. Life is not meant to be easy. In the material world, it's meant for trouble. The material body is awarded for punishment. It's not a play, but we're taking it as an object of enjoyment. This is an illusion. So as long as that is there, as long as we accept it as an object of enjoyment, then we try to adjust everything so we can enjoy it. But as soon as you interface with material nature, it's not your domain. It's run by demigods, 33 crores. So as soon as you interfere in their domain, then you get a bad reaction. You got a mountain of plastic, garbage. What do you do with it? But in any case, they swept it out of the temple, then they swept the roads also. They swept the courtyards and they swept the roads. Of course, it's better without, you know. They throw things, then the goats come and the cows come and the dogs come and they eat everything that's eatable, and then other just breaks down into the clay cups and paper. Natural things are better, but less convenient. So we want convenience, right? We want to cut corners. Then that's the price you pay for it. You can't breathe good air, you can't drink good water. You have to buy it. That's the price you pay for it. So it doesn't work. You can't resolve. The material problems can't be resolved by material means. They're built in, you see. Resolve one, create. You make a solution, you create 10 more problems, a solution. Hare Krishna. Jaya Sarvabhata ki jai.
Hare Krishna. This example of the 100 pointed broomsticks. Pointed broomsticks.
Broomsticks.
What is it? Undersarvaspati Thakur. So they're the.
A broomstick with 100 points. 100 sticks.
We should be ever ready to sweep away with the 100-pointed broomstick the evil desire of wanting to be lord of other devotees, wanting to be the wicked desire. So this example is a broomstick, coconut. They use the coconut
leaf,
palm leaves. In the center of the palm leaf is like a flexible little stick that is very, very strong. You take all those centers of the palm leaf and then you join them together, so like 100 sticks or whatever it is, and you bind it round like, and then so from the coconut tree, then you can sweep everything away from the heart. So if it doesn't work, the sweeping is not working properly. Sometimes there's nugra there. It's not just dry stuff, it's dirty stuff. It's stuck there. It's not going to move just by sweeping. So then you get that broom. You get the broom and you put it on where the dirty place is, sideways, and then you put your foot on that broom, and then you with your foot you push that broomstick like that gets rid of all the stuff that won't come up by sweeping. So So this is how we should clean the heart. It's not coming up by sweeping, and you have to use the 100 pointed broomsticks with your foot.
Or sometimes they turn the broom upside down.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, they'll hold it upside down like this, and they'll...
It becomes a scrubbing brush.
It's not coming any other way than you... Hold it like that.
So what is that? What is that analogy? The broom is analogy of what?
Well, they're using pointed broomsticks to clean the temple.
Is it an analogy of something?
Yeah, well, the analogy is how you should be willing to... How you should be determined to clean. If it just doesn't come up with one sweep...
Okay. Well, sometimes you have to scrub.
Then you have to hold it with your two hands and get right down. You get down on your hands and knees. And you scrub. You have to be determined to get everything up. So first you're sweeping gently, then holding with two hands, and then putting your foot on it. And scraping all the dialogue. Chitodharpana marginum. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. In other words, sometimes extra endeavor is needed with stubborn desires and habits. Haribo. Yonde chamad ki jay.
Hare Krishna.